Yes, the title is correct. I officially sold my business.
Last visit here to the Fairgrounds Farmers Market, home of Molly's Corner. It's a special day, special day.
Boo!
Kelsey is working hard behind the counter. She's not happy.
I decided to sell the bakery. And I wanted to make this video in more of a podcast style conversational thing so that I could release it as a podcast, but also because I haven't posted a lot of content over the last 2 years talking about this whole journey with the bakery. I made a video that surprised a lot of people in January 2022, announcing that I purchased a business, bakery, a coffee shop in Reading, Pennsylvania. And throughout that process, I really didn't document a lot of what was going on. I really didn't even talk about why I purchased it or some of the things I've been learning along the way. A lot was left out over the last 2 years, and so I figured I'd do a little bit of a longer video style that talked about that experience, why I've decided to sell it, some major mistakes that I made along the way, and hopefully it could help some of you. If you're watching this video and you're an entrepreneur or you're someone who is potentially thinking about investing in a business of some sort, maybe this will shed some light on some of my experience and it will help you in some capacity as well. So let's get into it. So let's rewind back to November or December of 2021. I have the office in downtown Allentown for Scaling Creative. All of us as employees and workers were coming there and we were working on a regular basis from that office. We no longer have that office. That's another whole story, but we would obviously have lots of just conversation, lots of water cooler conversations, as they like to call it, where basically you're just talking about stuff on a regular basis. And one of my employees at the time lived in the Reading area and used to regularly visit this bakery, this coffee shop that had really good cupcakes and scones and coffee and all the different stuff that, you know, a typical bakery would have. And she used to bring it to our office on a regular basis. And we all loved having it. We all thought it was delicious. Everything about it just seemed great. I loved the brand. I loved just the what she was doing. Just was a cool concept. I always had kind of wanted to start a coffee shop. It's always been something that I've actually had a lot of interest in. I love spending time at coffee shops. I love coffee. I'm not like one of those coffee nuts that does all the pour over stuff. And I don't really do all that. I just enjoy coffee and I like the conversation over coffee. And so I've always thought it would be cool to own a coffee shop. Bakery, not so much, but I kind of thought maybe it would be more coffee shop than bakery. So she comes in one day and tells me that the place that she's been buying stuff from for a long period of time and frequently visiting for many, many years is shutting down. She said that the owner was having twins and decided that she was just going to close the business down. Now, she made a terrible mistake by coming in shortly after she heard the announcement from the owner. And she said to someone like me, an entrepreneur and someone who loves the idea of new things and new ideas, she jokingly said, or maybe she wasn't joking, but she said to me, "You should buy it because we don't want the place to shut down." Now, that's a major mistake, because you don't tell someone who loves new things and new challenges to buy something, because then I kind of wanted to. So I said, "Well, that sounds like an interesting idea. I've always wanted to own a coffee shop. It's a bakery. I know how to run a business. I know how to do marketing. I know how to make video. That sounds like something that I can handle, that I actually would genuinely enjoy. So why don't I just shoot a message over to the owner and ask if it's actually something she'd consider?" So I shot a message over to the owner and said, "Hey, here's the story. And I'm not sure if you're interested in selling the business, but I would potentially be interested in buying it and doing it quickly." Now, normally when you're in potential talks of purchasing a business from someone, it kind of is a long negotiation conversations. You're looking into a lot of details like the income and the expenses and profits and all that kind of stuff, right? You're paying attention to that. You're having conversations. You're doing a lot of that kind of stuff. The problem that I faced was that she was shutting down the business effective January 1st, and we are only about 2 weeks away from January 1st when we're having these conversations. And I knew that if she shut the business down and then I bought it, and then I eventually opened it back up, you lose a ton of momentum from whatever was previously done. And because of the fact that I wanted to go in there initially and not really change much, I figured it would probably be more beneficial to keep it open if there was any way possible and just immediately change ownerships and let me kind of learn, dive in, get the employees, potentially keep her employees, do all that stuff and just keep it going. I knew that there's a bigger risk when you shut something down entirely and then open it back up because now you're trying to regain customers. So I wanted to desperately to be able to figure out how to keep the place open. And she actually agreed to that, which was great. But what that did is also expedited everything else leading up to it in terms of the purchase price, the way that we were going to do things, the training that was probably involved. And more importantly, all her employees who were previously working for her decided that they were already basically getting new jobs because they were told that the place was shutting down. So I had a very short amount of time to potentially talk some of her previous employees into staying in some capacity, basically trying to schmooze them as much as I could to say like, hey, stay on board. Here's kind of what I want to do with it. I'm excited about it. Can you stay on board? All that. They were gracious enough to stay on board for a solid 30 days or so after the first of the year. Some of them had already decided they were going to move on, but they were willing to stay and help, which I super appreciated. Some of them were willing to potentially give it a shot. They weren't really sure if they wanted to stay or not. They liked the previous owner, so that's difficult as it is. So I was in very fast scramble mode, which leads me to mistake number one that I made. The very first mistake I made when purchasing this business was that I purchased a business that I really didn't understand how to operate. And what I mean by that is not the business side of it. I have had employees for a while. I've done payroll for a while. I know marketing. I know social media stuff. Like, I get all that. The problem is I didn't have any real passion to bake at all. And I didn't have any knowledge of how to actually bake at all. So I was buying a business and wanting it to succeed right away while not actually being able to really do any of the training myself. You see, every other business I own, I know everything about. So scaling creative, I have employees that work for me that shoot and they edit and they do all the stuff. And granted, they do a lot of stuff that I don't do on a regular basis, which I'm super thankful for. But in the worst case scenario ever, if all my employees left scaling creative, I obviously know how to make videos and edit videos. I would obviously be in a backlog pretty quickly. But the point is, I know what I'm doing in that. I could potentially hire new people and I could train people, which is obviously pretty important. With the pressure washing company, I started that from scratch, learned every aspect of it, and know how to do the work on my own, actually enjoy doing the work on my own. And even if I'm out by myself at a job, I know how to quote the jobs, I know how to complete the jobs, I know how to troubleshoot the jobs, I know how to fix the gear. I understand how that business operates. In the consulting I do, in the YouTube stuff I do, in anything else I do that potentially makes me money, I understand how to do everything if I had to do it all by myself. With the bakery, I was going in saying, how hard can it be to just run another business? I understand how to get clients in the door. And as long as I have people that can make the stuff, well, we'll be set. But that was the biggest problem, because when I looked at the revenue that was generated from the previous year, that was obviously generated by her staff that had done this with her for a long time, including her. She started the business herself. She was passionate about baking. She did all the stuff herself. And then she built a team. She knew every aspect of it. The team knew every aspect of it, and it was running like a well-oiled machine. I was going in there in desperate need of every one of her people staying on board because I was fully reliant on them. You see, I knew some of the people that she had were going to be leaving, so that was not necessarily the biggest concern. I thought to myself, well, I can hire more people. I've done that before. I can run ads. I can get more people because I just need to hire more bakers. What I quickly discovered is that a lot of people that had previous baking experience at their home on a smaller scale and just try to make what they were making on a regular basis and keep quality at that level was a whole different story. So I very quickly was running through a ton of new people and I didn't know how to train those people. So we had the recipes from the stuff that they previously did, and we had some of the employees that were still there. But each and every person that came in, I would have to rely on her staff, who was quickly leaving and I was running out of time with, to train them. Because I knew that once the trainees were gone, I had no chance other than to hand a recipe to someone and say, here, this is what they make. Now, on top of that being already something that was difficult, people that worked for her currently really liked her and they liked working for her and they weren't leaving the job because they didn't like what they were doing. She was closing down the business, so they knew they had to get a new job. The problem was they liked her. So it wasn't like a new owner was coming in and everyone was thrilled about it because, man, it was just such a train wreck before and they were excited for some organization, all that stuff. Like, it was like the polar opposite. They really liked her. She didn't really enforce a ton of things, and there were a lot of things that she did that I just didn't necessarily agree with from a standpoint of what was given away, how vacation was treated, how travel was treated, just a lot of things that obviously go into a business that she did previously that they expected me to continue, and I just wasn't going to continue based on just having some experience running a business in the past. So what naturally happened very quickly is everyone that was previously on staff there, for the most part, left. Some of the people were kind of seasonal based in school, so they left not necessarily because of me. Some of them definitely left because of me. Some of them just left because they already had other jobs lined up. Some had been there for a long time, so they were just looking for something new regardless. All that stuff. Lots of factors. Long story short, come January 31st, only 31 days into me owning the place, I was struggling to figure out how I was even going to make any product and sell product. So I had a bunch of very inexperienced bakers for this type of work, barely being able to make the product. The product was not very good at all. We were struggling to make enough product. I wasn't able to sell enough coffee that quickly at the time to be able to make that kind of take over the revenue that was being made from the baking. So I was in a really bad place and trying to figure out what the heck was I going to do with this bakery that I just purchased and now I'm responsible for? So the number one mistake was that I was investing in a business that I didn't actually have any passion into or experience into, and I was fully reliant on other people. I will never purchase a business again, possibly never purchase a business again in general, but I would definitely never purchase a business again that I didn't have some level of passion for. Because if you know me, you know that I give everything 110% and I'm obsessed with learning and understanding all aspects of anything I do so I can be better at what I do. But baking was just not something I was passionate on. So I was too reliant on other people. So I obviously knew I didn't have an option to just quit and say, well, this was a mistake, let's move on. I knew that I had to make something happen. I did my very best to learn what I could. I did very little baking, but I tried my very best to help in any capacity. I got a couple of people that were at least doing decent enough work to be able to help at least keep afloat, though we were struggling to make product consistent and good. Had a couple of people that really, really helped during the time for a couple of months, but they weren't super passionate about it. So naturally, I knew that that was just kind of a short time window I had before they were going to be out of there as well. So I knew something had to happen or else this was going to be a really bad move overall. So about a month later, right after Valentine's Day and right after we got into March, my wife, who's just the most incredibly hardworking person I know, and I don't know where I'd be without her in general, but she kind of just stepped up and said, we're not going to let this fail. She didn't have a lot of baking experience, but obviously she's a mom and she's baked stuff before. She has way more experience than me and she had more passion than I did for sure. It absolutely was not something that she was passionate about. Like, she wanted to start her own business, but she at least had some experience and she was okay using that experience to learn. And similar to me, she gives everything all she has and she became obsessed with learning how to do it really well. And about a month and a half into her kind of taking it on and deciding to take it on, she was really running the entire thing by herself. She impressed me beyond belief. She always has, but just her ability to step in, learn everything that needed to be done, make all this stuff and be so good at baking, and the product we were making was tremendous. And it's not like she had a lot of experience before. She just refused to let it fail. So by April or May of that year, she was basically running the entire thing. She was doing scheduling, hiring. She was making the menu every week. She was baking most of the stuff. She had a couple other people that were on board helping as well. But for the most part, she was running the whole thing. And I wasn't having to do very much at all. I would do some marketing and some social media stuff here and there. But for the most part, it kind of was running itself, even from a traffic perspective, because it's inside a market. So there's naturally a lot of organic traffic that just goes through the market that we really didn't have to legit market. It kind of had a lot of its own people already. We definitely lost a lot of the previous customers, but some of that was actually good because some of the stuff that we started to do differently that they didn't do made those customers mad anyway, and we were able to kind of build our own new client base. People really, really liked what my wife was doing. They started to really like the products we were offering, the quality of stuff. Everything started to finally feel like, okay, this actually will work. And I was smart enough to know, like, hey, my wife's handling this, and unless I hear from her regarding anything, I really am going to stay out of it. And I didn't spend much time there at all. She kind of just crushed it, and she continued to raise profits and revenue every single month. And it was really awesome to see, honestly. But I still kind of had this kind of bad feeling of, my poor wife is working her butt off for something that she never really wanted to do. I kind of felt like she was forced into this position, and what she's wanted to be for a long time is a mom and a friend to people and a mentor to other women that she knows as well. And she was kind of having to spend a lot of time working at this new business that she now owned that she didn't really sign up for. For a while, we thought about potentially getting her out of the business and just trying to find someone that was super passionate about this, that would look at it like their baby and would do everything and run it all and be able to have some good financial incentives to be able to get them to be into it, but just found it difficult to find someone who's going to care as much about your business as you do. That's just the reality. I know that's the reality. And it was no different in this business as well. As my wife continued to take on the responsibility and as we continued to grow it and she built her own team and she did all that, even though things were going fine and we were making money from it, I very quickly realized that it was really not great for our family. She was working most days that the bakery was open, which were Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and she was also there on Wednesdays doing some baking. On Sunday night, she was always doing her ordering. On Tuesdays, she was usually running all the way to there and back to drop off product and to drop off different stuff that basically she had to do on a regular basis. So she was working beyond a full-time job, and it was starting to really interfere, honestly, with a lot of the stuff that I was trying to do with scaling creative, because I would constantly be forced into figuring out, well, if she works these days and this days, well, that means that I can't work in the morning because I have to take the kids to school and I have to pick them up from the bus stop and I have to kind of be around if something's happening, or if a kid was sick, well, I'd have to stay home with the kid while she was at the bakery. But yet my businesses were the ones that were actually making more money overall for our family. So we got in this constant predicament where we were trying to figure out, like, why are we wasting so much time at the bakery when that's actually not the thing that's really paying our bills? And that's when I started to really realize, like, man, this was just a major mistake. We were having to adjust way too many things on my side of the business just to be able to keep her running that business that she didn't really want to be at. During the summer, the family and I really liked to spend time in our camper and traveling and going to different places and just enjoying time together. And that was very difficult to do throughout last year because of the schedule conflicts with what she was doing and what I was doing. And there were times that she couldn't be with us on a trip because she'd have to be waking up early to go bake. And I'm just enjoying this little vacation we have and feeling like this just isn't fair, that she's the one not enjoying it, even though I was the one that made the mistake to purchase it. I felt genuinely really bad for the situation and was trying to think, what options do we potentially have? Like, what can we even do now with the situation that we're in? So throughout the summer, we kind of were talking about what could we possibly do? You know, could we sell it? But selling a business is also somewhat difficult because you don't really want to just openly promote that you're trying to sell a business, because I think it really hurts the business while it's operating, knowing that it's going to be sold, right? There's this weird idea of, well, if you're selling the business, it's going to go to different owners. They're not going to be able to do as good of a job, and the product's not going to be good, and I'll just find another place since this place is going to go downhill. And so it doesn't help the situation. But also, you got to find a potential buyer for the business, because if you want to sell it, you need someone to buy it. So I started to think about, what potential people do I know would be good and suitable and have a passion to do this type of work, and fortunately reached out to someone that I thought this would be a really, really good fit for based on stuff that she was already doing with her own coffee shop. She was looking for more of a brick and mortar type of place that would supplement her trailer that she had, and kind of fell perfectly into place. Like, it was a humongous, humongous answer to prayer that just there was someone that this made a lot of sense for, that I felt like could do a great job and be able to really thrive with something that she was actually passionate about. So we came to an agreement in the fall of this past year, 2023. And unlike my situation, where I had a super, super short window to figure this whole crap out before I took over, we were able to work with the new owner and say, hey, we'll work with you October, November, and December, and train you in every aspect that you need, help in any way that we can, show you how we've done things, give you the recipes, give you everything you need, fully support you in the journey, and let you basically get yourself in a good position so that once you actually take over, you're not relying on us anymore like I was forced to rely on the previous people. Very similar to us, she obviously had to figure out what she was going to do with employees and do all that kind of stuff. And obviously she's going through that now. But fortunately, we hired some great people when we were there, and they, I believe, are still there working with her. And I think it's a perfect fit for her, honestly, for what she's doing. But it's also just a humongous, humongous relief having us not be a part of it in any capacity. We don't have to provide any support for her. So the agreement was that in January, she basically would run the stuff by herself, and we would give all the support we could leading up to that. And it's been great. And she's doing it, and she's learning, and we're just able to be back to what we wanted, which is simply allowing my businesses to be the real drivers of all our income. And my wife can actually just be the mom she wants to be, and the friend that she wants to be, and the mentor to people, and just be able to be involved in the things that she wants to and not be forced into it. A lot of people always ask, like, oh, was Kelsey sad that you sold a bakery? And I always laugh and say, like, not a chance. She was the most excited person ever to get rid of it. So here are the main things that I learned in no particular order that hopefully can be valuable to you. The first one I already talked about, but it is to not invest in a business that you are not truly passionate about. Now, I know some people will argue and say, well, I don't have to be passionate about this business to invest in it because the business is doing well, and I can look at the revenue and realize it's doing well, and if I just invest into it, the people can continue to run it and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that's as true as you think, and you can get yourself in trouble if you invest in something and are forced to rely fully on other people because you're not truly passionate about doing the work yourself. And I feel like if you wouldn't genuinely want to do the work entirely by yourself, if everyone quit, then it's not a business that I would potentially tell you to invest into. Because the unfortunate part about owning a business, especially if it's a small business with only 3, 5, 10, 20 employees, or maybe even 100 or 200 employees, people leave and you just lose employees. It's that part of it. There's no way around that. And if you are not able to do the work by yourself in the event that people leave, you're going to be in trouble. So don't invest in something that's not truly something that you either have a lot of experience with or you're just passionate enough to learn it so you at least have some idea of what you're doing. The second big piece of advice I'd give is primarily for people if you're married or you're in obviously a serious enough relationship is that if you are looking to invest in a business, make sure that you have full buy-in from your spouse. Kelsey, fortunately, was fully bought in on the idea of me buying it. But when I bought it, she wasn't planning on actually working at it. She was planning on doing what she did already, which was being a mom and being home with our kids. And she was forced into working at it. And it wasn't really a passion of hers. And so I think being really clear about your expectations in terms of who's going to run it, not just now while things are going good, but who's going to run it if everyone quits? Do we have the capacity to? Do we have the desire to do it? Is something that's super important to talk with your spouse about immediately before you invest into something. Starting a business from scratch is an entirely different thing because you're only really starting a business from scratch if you are passionate about it. But purchasing a business is a whole different story because you're purchasing something that's already going and you have to basically continue doing mostly what they did if you want to have the same success moving forward. Another thing I learned was just the realization that when you purchase any business, you should be fully expecting that there's going to be a mass change in staff. No matter how nice you are, no matter if the changes that you make sense or not, you just naturally are going to have people that like the way that it was previously done. And anything you really do to change it is just not going to be looked at as something that they are super excited about because naturally they are just not going to be excited. They previously worked for someone, and if they liked that person, especially anything you say that's going to be new is just going to be, in their opinion, wrong because they liked the way that it was in the past. So it just makes it super difficult, and you have to be just aware and expecting that you're going to lose a lot of previous staff when you purchase a business. And you have to be prepared enough to be able to either continue to operate it yourself or at least make sure that you have the people in place right away to sustain it. Another big thing I learned, and it goes into another whole conversation that I could have deeper, but it's the idea that if you have something that's going well and that's growing, for me, that's Scaling Creative, my main moneymaker and my main kind of work that I do, anytime you take your time away from the thing that's working and that's going well, you are also going to naturally have some revenue loss, and you have to determine if it's worth you putting your time into something else at all or just continuing to build what's actually working. Even though I know that I'm wired to want to do new things and want to try new businesses and start other businesses and buy other businesses, every single time that I take my attention away from something and I put it into something new, that other something always has either a little bit of a dip or a flat line and not continued growth. I know that it is me working hard that gets more growth in Scaling Creative. And I don't mean it's my video skills or my editing skills. What I mean is I know that new business is driven by the content I produce and the sales that I have to go out with people, to pitch ideas to people, to get clients to spend more money with us. That is all driven from me. So while it may seem like it makes fun sense to start something brand new, the decline or non-growth that I see in my main business, if it goes down while the other one is going up, I'm really just still making no more money anyway, and I'm just spreading myself thin kind of across a bunch of different things. And I've started to really realize I need to be more strategic and better at deciding what I say yes to, because I like new ideas and I like trying new things, but I can see a very obvious trend that is whenever I start something new, the other thing that I was doing naturally declines. Looking back, when I first started 4LC Studio as my wedding cinematography, every single year we would grow our revenue and grow our revenue more and more and more every single year. Then I started scaling creative, and naturally I did less weddings, so there'd be less weddings and less revenue for that, and scaling creative would start to grow and grow and grow. It would then bypass what 4LC Studios did. It would grow and grow and grow. I started oddly satisfying pressure washing, and naturally scaling creative kind of flatlined as just what we did on a regular basis. And part of that I was okay with, because after COVID and after letting some people go and after kind of getting to a spot where I realized I could have some flexibility with my time and not have to think every minute of the day about it, I was okay not necessarily taking on more clients or adding more revenue, because we were able to just achieve what we could without having to go crazy and be fully stressed out. I also didn't really see much more growth happen, and naturally had a couple clients here and there that we would lose for various reasons, and started to see that there was definitely not growth happening with scaling creative. If anything, there was some decline. So I started to get smart enough to kind of realize, you know, maybe it makes more sense for me to just keep doing what I can do really well, and potentially just doing the things I do in the business more that I actually enjoy, like do more of those things and don't always just go start something new. I get the chance to talk with a lot of business owners and be mentored by a lot of them, and just have a lot of small business owners and large business owners that I have lots of conversations with. And recently was having a conversation with someone who had asked me, you know, what's like the end goal, right? What's the amount of money that I need to make to have the freedom that I truly want to have? And the answer to me came very quickly and very easily, which was like, ideally, I always wanted to start my own business, own my own business, and make just enough money that I could kind of do what I want with my time, whenever I wanted with my time, and still be able to pay all my bills and still be able to travel and do kind of just what I want and not have to worry every single minute of every single day what I'm doing or who I'm getting paid by. And I realized, like, I'm already at that spot. Scaling Creative is growing again as I'm putting more time into it since we got rid of the bakery. More importantly, I don't need it to go crazy. I don't need it to do $10 million a year or $20 million a year. I'm at a really good spot with a small team where I think that we do quality work, and we're continuing to look at how we can do work better. But I also don't have to spend a ton of my time with the everyday work that we actually are doing for clients. And I'm spending time playing pickleball, and I started playing ice hockey, and I play softball, and just different things. And I'm able to do those things, and I'm able to spend probably most weekends and sometime during the week all this summer at a campground just hanging out with the family. I'm already living the dream. Like, there's no more money that I need to make to live a different life. Like, I'm already living the life that I want to. And so why start new things, new businesses, and buy new businesses that require me to have to put a lot of time into them if what I'm trying to do by getting them is to make enough money to give me freedom in my time, but I already have the freedom in my time? Like, it's just, it started to become really clear to me, like, understanding why you're doing what you do is so crucial. Because maybe, just maybe, you can do what you want to do immediately and you don't actually have to change very much. You just have to change what you say yes and no to. Because, like, you look at a lot of people and they'll say, well, I just want to make $200,000 a year or $100,000 a year or $1 million. But usually what they're really saying is, when I get to this point financially, I'll be able to do this, 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 or this. But maybe the thing that you're actually trying to do, you could do now if you were just more strategic with, you know, what you're saying yes to and how you're planning your schedule out. So that's been like something I've really been thinking a lot about, just the fact that I'm in a great spot in life, and do I really need to take anything else on at all? The answer is I don't feel like I do. I feel like I need to spend a little bit more focused time on Scaling Creative and focused on the things that I really enjoy doing at Scaling Creative, which are idea generation and being a creative director and coming up with ideas and getting new clients and getting clients fired up about stuff, but helping my team a little bit execute on that stuff, but also just letting them execute on it and just being comfortable in that. I'm also doing some consulting with another company now that I'm essentially on staff with. Like, I'm on a per diem staff, so I just do work when it comes based on that. But like, I love that type of work. And I do the YouTube stuff and I do Amazon affiliate stuff. And I'm at a really good spot that I've got to constantly remind myself, you don't necessarily need to be doing more. Like, decide what your win would be and then try to get to your win ASAP. And the number one way, this is a life hack that you should hopefully know, but the number one way to achieve financial freedom in life is to eliminate your overhead. So if you don't need to make as much money, meaning you don't have debt, you can be rich way sooner. You don't need to make $1 million a year or $250,000 a year or even $100,000 a year if you don't have a lot of expenses. But where I've gotten myself in trouble in the past, and my parents have gotten themselves in trouble in the past, is that you make a certain amount of money, and then you start to spend more because you have more, and then because you spent more, you now have to make more, and then you're in this nonstop cycle where you just can't keep up. So maybe just work a little bit more on lowering your expenses and your overhead, and you may be able to do exactly what you want if you had $1 million. Because if you don't get that stuff in order anyway, make $500,000 a year, you're still going to live paycheck to paycheck. You got what I'm saying? I'm speaking to myself in this whole thing as well, but it's just something I really realized. I've started to just realize how important having hobbies and also trying to stay healthier is just so important. I'm starting to try to work out as much as possible and play more pickleball and hockey and just different things that keep me active. I'm not getting any younger. None of us are. When I look around the United States specifically, but even just the world, at how many people are just out of shape, I look at it like I don't want to be that. I need to keep active and I need to keep my brain doing things that fuel me. I want to keep doing things that have competition involved. I love sports and I love competing, and so I need to do more of that stuff. It's easy when you start to be in the grind and working a lot to just work so much, and then you get home and you're exhausted, so you sit on the couch and you watch TV, you go to bed, you repeat the same cycle day after day after day, and then you just are out of shape, you feel like crap, you're always tired, you're not feeling motivated, and it's really hard to get back into it. So find some hobbies that make you excited, that don't make you money, that you can play with your friends. Like, find some hobbies that you and your friends can enjoy together. Pick up a sport, get in a league of some sort. I'm telling you, the best thing that's happened to me in the last 2 years has been getting back into sports and leagues and competition and playoffs and championships, because that competition drives me and gets me excited. And it's something other than work. I love what I do. But you still have days you don't love it. And you gotta find other things that keep you excited. I don't know. Long rant. Long story short, or long story long. I feel like I'm at a really good place right now. And I want you to be there too. There's a lot of people that just, I think, get stuck in the everyday. They don't think enough about like what the future looks like. You know what makes you happy. What makes you and your wife happy. You and your husband happy. Do more of that stuff that makes you feel excited about life. There's a lot more to it than just work. Hope this video was helpful for someone. Can you comment below if you can resonate with any of these things? I would love to hear your feedback. I'm learning a lot, and I hope you are too.